Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive and often deadly myths associated with religion and politics, patriotism and the media, and with military, economics, and now intelligence schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to understand what is actually occurring, to expose the liars, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 10 to 20 years. Then, during our second hour, we will engage God on His terms, through evidence and reason, since His is the lone reliable voice in an exceedingly troubled world. Our phone number, for those of you who would like to participate in today's discussion over the next 2 hours, is 877-300-7645. Yesterday, we were in the midst of exposing one of many lies associated with the United States deciding that it was appropriate to ignore the U.S. Constitution, which is unreasonable search and seizure, to seize information and search information based upon ordinary citizens' use of their telephones and of their computers or any Internet-related device. Searching the information about your use and seizing it. It's as unreasonable in terms of search and seizure as you could possibly have. No justification whatsoever to search tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of Americans' usage of communication medium. There was a poll that has been taken, several of them, and what they basically show is that Americans are divided, which means a very significant percentage of Americans are way too stupid to even express an opinion. 40% of Americans think, yeah, it's wrong for America to completely disregard its constitution and to snoop into the communications, the information quests of its citizens. And 40% thinks, oh, it's, well, I'll give up privacy. I'll give up my individual rights. I will allow my government to ignore the Constitution, yeah, because they promised to protect me. What's wrong with you? 14% or so are undecided in all of this. So it's about 14 or so. What's wrong with you? I mean, it strikes me that we have, through our failures in education and through political correctness, where judgment is now considered a crime, we've dumbed people down through propaganda, politics, and patriotism and the like, so that they're effectively zombies, unable to think, unable to recognize that when a government operates in a manner that is inconsistent with the rules upon which they are sworn to perform, which in this case is the U.S. Constitution, and willfully, knowingly, purposefully, deliberately undermine the U.S. Constitution and then justify doing so, that you've got nothing left, that you're headed directly to the abyss of nations who have crumbled from within. And that this behavior is no different than the behavior of spending money they don't have to win votes and bankrupting this country to the tune of $17 trillion that we're paying interest on, in addition to some $40 to $50 trillion in unfunded mandates like Social Security and Medicare. Spending $700 billion a year for a military with the myth that it is designed to protect American freedom, when all that you'd have to do in this country is honor the Second Amendment, and America is impossible for any country to invade and occupy, saving the government 100% of the money it squanders, killing people and blowing things up. Here you have a country that goes after financial firms and individuals that are considered to be running Ponzi schemes. Oh, how bad they are. And yet the U.S. government runs the world's two largest Ponzi schemes, Social Security and Medicare. They're both Ponzi schemes. They are absolute, the epitome of a Ponzi scheme, where the newer contributor pays the benefits of those who have came along earlier. No real fund, no investment. Strictly a Ponzi scheme. So now we have a courageous young man. Now, I don't know if he's a great young man or not. I have no idea of his character or anything other than I can witness the fact that Snowden gave Americans a tremendous gift at a tremendous personal price. What he did was courageous, was wise, it was moral, it was heroic. And so he's given Americans another insight, and we've been given so many of these over the years, particularly with the WikiLeaks documents that showed the malfeasance of our government, the reason that the U.S. government should not be trusted, and the governments really around the world shouldn't be trusted. And America's yawned, and they're yawning here again. And in the program yesterday, we specifically talked about Dianne Feinstein and the fact that she's the chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And she said that two terrorist attacks on America had been specifically thwarted by the revelation, which at the time was the Verizon collection and seizure of data regarding ordinary American phone use. Now, mind you, that both of these cases had been resolved years before the Verizon and telephone-related data collection and seizure were even implemented, and that neither of the cases actually even involved PRISM. One that she gave was one of dozens of sting operations that the U.S. government had conducted, where all the government has to do is to go into chat rooms populated by jihadists and pretend they're a jihadist. That's what they've been doing. That's how those sting operations work. They do not require America to collect data on internet use for anyone, from Microsoft or from Apple or from Google, from anyone, from Facebook. So to say that one of the potential, this was a Afghan-born Colorado man who was going to bomb New York City, to say that was a benefit of this program is an outright lie. Those programs are all sting operations, and they're conducted by FBI agents pretending to be fundamentalist Muslims and going into chat rooms used by Muslims and then performing a sting on them. Moreover, if you want to know what the problem with that was, why did we, in the midst of having Afghanis killing Americans, why did we allow Afghanis to immigrate into America? You know, the immigration policy is responsible here. He brought the poison with him, this individual, Islam. David Headley is the other. Now, David Headley is the other that she gave, Dianne Feinstein gave. And the reason we're going to consider David Headley's story, and she directly attributed, she says, oh, you know, the David Headley is an example of this program. By the way, he was not an example of this program. That was an outright lie. But David Headley's story is wrapped up in the Mumbai tragedy, and so Dianne Feinstein said, you know, that this program prevented a Mumbai kind of massacre. You know, we're 164 or 166, depending on whose math you believe, were murdered by fundamentalist Islamic terrorists from Pakistan. And she implied that David Headley was now scouting around American sites as he had been scouting around sites in Mumbai, and that by using this program, that kind of terrorist attack was thwarted in the United States. It's an absolute an utter and complete lie. But it is the story of David Headley and the Pakistani involvement in the Mumbai attacks, as well as Dianne Feinstein's support of providing Pakistan's ISI, who sponsored those attacks, with billions of dollars that is at issue, because she's being a complete hypocrite. She is deliberately and knowingly funding terrorism while claiming to have stopped one lowly lieutenant who was part of the very mechanism that she is funding, aiding and abetting. That's the nature of hypocrisy and how great it is. And before I jump back into the story, I want to share one other insight with you. The United Nations has now indicated that at least, at a very minimum, 93,000 people have been killed in Syria. There is an equal number of individuals that are missing. And so when this all settles down, if it ever settles down, we're going to have a number that's in the range of 200,000 people killed. In addition to that, approximately that same number of women have been raped. Now, why do I tie this together? The United States, in aiding and abetting the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, during Zbigniew Brzezinski's term as National Security Advisor and Jimmy Carter's term as President of the United States, created the very enemy that we are now spending hundreds of billions of dollars to fight. They wanted to give the Russians a taste of their own Vietnam, of what we experienced in Vietnam, what they gave us in Vietnam. So the United States government went to the Pakistani government, and specifically to their ISI, to provide billions of dollars of money and weaponry to the Taliban and to Al-Qaeda. And as a result of doing that, we created a powerful enemy. Now, long story short, as a result of having done that, and then acting stupidly related to Saddam Hussein, we now have this war in Syria, which is a direct result of our invasion of Afghanistan and of Iraq, and 93,000 people are dead because of the malfeasance of senators like Ms. Feinstein. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. So here in the United States, we have Dianne Feinstein, head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, saying that driving nails into the U.S. Constitution, not ignoring it, but trashing it, burying it, was justified because potentially a couple of terrorist attacks had been thwarted by this annihilation of and annulment of the U.S. Constitution. So, yeah, don't worry about the fact that we've annulled the U.S. Constitution. Don't you be bothered by that. We may have saved you from being the victim of a terrorist attack. And not only were both examples that she gave bogus, but one of them shows Dianne Feinstein and the U.S. government to be complicit in the murder of what may be millions of people. Now, in the case of Dianne Feinstein's support of Iraq and Afghanistan, a million people have died as a result of our invasions. And now, in Syria, another 93,000 are known to have died, which is a direct result of our invading of Iraq, giving Iraq to the Shias in Iran. And so here's a woman saying, oh, but my actions were so good, because I may have saved a few lives from terrorism, when in fact her decisions have cost over a million people their lives as a result of this same evil disease known as Islam. Well, let's talk about the Mumbai attacks, because that's what Ms. Feinstein said, that she precluded Americans from enduring as a direct result of PRISM and Verizon wiretaps. She said that David Headley was who had worked with the Pakistani jihadist who had attacked hotels and other targets in Mumbai, that he was the guy doing the advanced surveillance, and he was again doing surveillance for those who had perpetrated the Mumbai attack. Well, the reality is that those who conducted the Mumbai attack are all dead. There was only one who survived the attack of the 10 that perpetrated it, and Kassab was executed last November, about 6 months ago. Now, I want to share with you a little bit about the nature of those Mumbai attacks, because they are so condemning of not only Pakistan, but the United States government's support of Pakistan, and this lie that the United States is aligning with Pakistan, paying Pakistan, arming Pakistan to fight the Taliban. The 2008 Mumbai attacks were 12 coordinated shooting and bombing attacks across Mumbai, which is India's largest city, used to be called Bombay, by members of Lashkar-e-Taiba, the Pakistani-based militant organization, is what the article reads. Lashkar-e-Taiba is actually a jihadi organization that was, so therefore Islamic, that was created expressly by the ISI, Pakistan's internal organization for the purpose of clandestine operations to undermine the situation in Kashmir. Pakistan is, you know, like all Islamic states, is never satisfied with what they have confiscated. They always want to confiscate more. And so Kashmir is their area that they're trying to confiscate through terrorist acts. And Lashkar-e-Taiba is one of the largest of the jihadi organizations that the Pakistani ISI, their equivalent of America's CIA, if you take the Pakistanis, if you took America's CIA, FBI, all of Homeland Security, rolled them into one, along with military intelligence, that might be an oxymoron, that would be the Pakistani ISI. That's whom created the entity that created Lashkar-e-Taiba and the purpose of them. The attackers allegedly received reconnaissance assistance before the attacks. That's where David Headley came in, but the reality is that the primary reconnaissance prior to the attacks was Google Maps. Ajmal Kassab, the only attacker, there were 10 that actually conducted the attack, he was the only one captured alive. He later confessed upon interrogation that the attacks were coordinated with the support of Pakistan's ISI. So the Pakistani government, its ISI, its equivalent of the American CIA and FBI all rolled into one, and military intelligence all rolled into one. In fact, the ISI is really part of the Pakistani military. That they coordinated the attacks. They funded them, trained the individuals, prepared them, chose the targets, and sent the attackers on their way. The attacks, which drew worldwide global condemnation, began on Wednesday, the 26th of November, and lasted through the 29th of November in 2008. So what, about 5 years ago, nearly 5 years ago, killing 166 people and wounding 308. We'll return to this story in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. I am your host, Yetta. We're talking about now the malfeasance that America has covered up, that it has been expressly responsible for, that has led to the deaths of millions of people around the world. This nation that wants Americans to believe that they are right in trampling the U.S. Constitution, discarding the U.S. Constitution to protect them, has been one of the leading sponsors of Islamic terrors worldwide. The attacks in Mumbai, which we are now considering, were a direct result of America being willing to aid and benefit the Pakistani ISI, their military and intelligence establishment, for the express purpose of them operating terrorist organizations around the world, particularly in Kashmir, Afghanistan, and in India. And this particular operation in Mumbai was a direct result of the Pakistani ISI, a organization that would have collapsed in the 1980s had it not been for American support. So these bombings that took place in Mumbai they 13 bomb attacks. Now, this says that rather than 160 some odd people killed, this wiki report shows that the total number of people killed was actually 257, and the number injured was 700. I am reading from the same article. I apologize, but the bombing in 2008. Did kill the 166 and injure 300. But it was on the heels of one that took place, back in 1993. So 2008, you go back to 1993, the Pakistani ISI led an attack that killed 257 people and injured 700. So, way back when America was really active in funding Pakistan and their ISI, they had previously conducted an attack on Mumbai that killed twice as many people as the 2008 attack. In December of 2002, a bus was blown up, coordinated by the Pakistani ISI, that killed two, injured 28. A bombing occurred on the 10th anniversary of a mosque being destroyed that was perpetrated by a bicycle bomber in Mumbai that killed one and injured 25. In 2003, the day before, the Prime Minister of India was to make a presentation, and within the anniversary of the 93 bombings, a bomb exploded on a train near Melund, and it killed 10 people and injured 70. And on July of 2003, a blast in a Best bus killed 4 people and injured 32, all coordinated by the Pakistani ISI. Their operatives being sent to India to terrorize India with the primary funding for Pakistan's ISI coming, at least from external sources, coming from the United States. In August of 2003, two more bombs exploded. 44 people were killed and 150 injured. A couple of years later, 7 bombs exploded within 11 minutes on a suburban railway, also coordinated by Pakistan and their ISI. 209 people were killed, including 22 foreigners. Over 700 were injured. All of those bombings were carried out by Lashkar-e-Taiba, which is as much a part of Pakistan's government as the U.S. Marines are part of the United States government. This is a terrorist organization that from an external source receives most of its funding and support from the United States. Dianne Feinstein's intelligence committee would be the one approving such senatorial State Department-sponsored aid, both monetary and military, to Pakistan and their ISI that perpetrated all of these attacks. Now, as it relates to the Mumbai attacks that Headley was part of, a group of men stated at 24 initially received training in marine welfare warfare at a remote camp in the mountains around Kashmir in Pakistan. Part of the training took place near a reservoir where the camp was run by the Pakistani ISI. They were given psychological training. The psychological training for those 24 individuals, which were culled down to 10 to perpetrate the attack, was indoctrination to Islam. In other words, they were told everything about what a good Muslim must do, which is to be a terrorist, the promises of that are given in the Quran of dying as a jihadist and getting the multiple virgins in paradise, in addition to showing imagery of alleged atrocities suffered by Muslims in India, Chechnya, the mythical place called Palestine, and across the globe. Now, mind you, Muslims almost always killed based upon alleged atrocities suffered by Muslims at the hands of non-Muslims, when in fact Muslims are actively promoting and actually perpetrating savage atrocities on Muslims, including rape of boys and of girls, of savage decapitations and the severing of arms and legs, of whippings and leading all the way to murder. 99% of the time that a Muslim suffers such brutality, it is at the hands of another Muslim. 99% of the time. So that motivation that, oh boy, look at all of the atrocities that have been suffered by Muslims around the world. Well, 99% of those atrocities were perpetrated by Muslims upon Muslims. And yet, Muslims are told to believe that rather than the Palestinians, these mythical people, being the perpetrators of terror, which they are, that they are the victims of terror, which they are not. It is lies, propaganda, religious and political, military lies, societal lies that promote this sort of thing. That was the first thing they received, is a psychological indoctrination. But this kind of propaganda, it exists in America. It's why so many Americans are on the wrong side of most every issue. They received combat training that was coordinated by the Pakistani ISI, including terror mythology. Specifically, why terrorism, the methodology behind terrorism, and how terrorism works. They received advanced training, selected to undergo combat training at a military camp, a course that was called the Dara Khos. According to an unnamed source at the U.S. Defense Department, this includes advanced weapon training, explosive trainings, all supervised by retired personnel from Pakistan's Army. Now, this is a country that the United States not only says is our ally in the war against terror, Pakistan, but a country the United States gives several billion dollars of aid in military aids and money every year. Without that aid, Pakistan would collapse. And this is a country that purposefully, deliberately, knowingly, willfully engaged its military in the training of those who perpetrated the Mumbai attacks. The Pakistani army personnel also provided survival training and further indoctrination on the virtues of Islam. Commando training was the final aspect of the training, in commando tactics and marine navigation training given to the Fedayeen units in order to target Mumbai specifically. From these students, those 24, 10 were handpicked for the Mumbai mission by the Pakistani ISI. They were also received a training in a number of other techniques, swimming, sailing, use of high-end weapons and explosives, all of which were supplied to the Laskhar-e-Taiba commanders via the Pakistani government. According to the media, reports citing an unnamed former Defense Department official of the United States, the intelligence agencies of the United States determined that the former officers of Pakistan's army and their inter-services intelligence, that's the ISI agency, assisted actively and continuously in their training. All right, so does Dianne Feinstein know that? She is head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, that the U.S. Defense Department and the U.S. intelligence agencies determined that Pakistan's army and Pakistan's ISI, inter-services intelligence agencies, assisted actively and continuously throughout this training. So she's citing the capture of Headley as a sign that the U.S. Constitution should be annulled, forgotten, ignored, because it prevents terror when she knowingly, purposefully, deliberately funded and aided the Pakistani Army and ISI through the U.S. Senate to perpetrate acts of egregious terrorism. The blueprints for all targets, the Taj Mahal Palace Hotel, the Oberoi Trident, the Nariman House, and the transportation hubs that were attacked were all provided by Pakistan's Inter-Services Intelligence Agency. Now, it's just some of the issues around the attacks. When the transportation hub was attacked, 58 people were killed, 104 were injured. That was the first. That's how the assaults began. They were killed, by the way, with assault rifles, AK-47s, were the means to go into the passenger hall. These men opened fire using their AK-47s, provided by the Pakistani government, bullets provided by the Pakistani government, funded by the U.S. government, and they mowed down 58 people, injured 104. The Leopold Cafe and the Kolaba Causeway in South Mumbai were the next targets. Two of these attackers opened fire, also using their AK-47s. They murdered 10 people, including foreigners, injuring many more. They then turned their attention to two hotels, the Taj Mahal and the Oberoi Tower. They set explosives and firebombs in those hotels, intending to kill all of the occupants of both hotels, standing guard at the doorways to prevent people from leaving so that they could be burned alive. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. I want to share one more insight with you regarding the Mumbai attacks that are absolutely known to Dianne Feinstein. And then we're going to turn to Glenn calling in from Philadelphia regarding Pakistan. This article says, according to radio transmissions that were picked up by the Indian government, the attackers were told by their handlers in Pakistan, which would be Pakistan's ISI, that the lives of Jews were worth 50 times more than those of non-Jews. And as a result, the injuries that were shown on the bodies of Jews show that they were tortured to death. Now, if the ISI was a politically motivated and inspired organization, when you say ISI, you're saying the Pakistan government. If they were a politically inspired organization, then the lives of Indian government officials would be the most prized because they're still at war over Kashmir with India. But for them to say that the Jews, who are not a party of anything that's going on in India, or have anything to do with Kashmir, are worth 50 times more than the lives of an Indian, tells you that the ISI and the Pakistani government are not motivated by politics, but instead by the religion of Islam that calls out Jews to be Allah's primary enemy. Dianne Feinstein's aware of that. I'm going to turn now to Glenn, who's calling in from Philadelphia. How are you this morning, Glenn?
Fine, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, very good. Take a moment to point out that Pakistan, modern Pakistan as a nation, didn't exist until it was partitioned off from India in 1947, precisely because these struggles between Islam and Hinduism were causing so much strife and so much trouble. And they say, so, you know, they finally drew a line, and all the Hindus on one side had to move on to the other side, and all the Muslims on the other side of the line had to move across.
Which you've said there is almost completely accurate, but not totally accurate. And I'd like to be a bit more precise here. To say that the troubles between Hindus and Islam and Muslims caused the divide makes it sound like that Hindus and Muslims were both at odds with each other, and they were both opposed to each other and made it impossible for one to live with the other. Hindus are tolerant to a fault. Muslims are intolerant to a fault. Hindus are typically nonviolent to a fault, and Muslims are violent to a fault. Hindus in India acted through nonviolent protest to free India from Great Britain, the Muslims in India.
Nehru,
then started terrorizing Hindus so that they then could benefit from that and have their own state. And Pakistan is called Land of the Pure and therefore a land only for those who are Muslims. So what you said is accurate, but I just a little more to it, because it's not fair to smear Hindus in India with the stain that has called this blight called Pakistan.
Right, right. Well, and then subsequently what we now have are two nuclear-armed nations both battling over this area, Kashmir. With,
correct.
Which most Americans only know because of the wool and sweaters and such.
Yes.
But and then of course there are Sikhs in the mix too. But now we have two nuclear armed nations facing
correct.
Off after this. And I don't know if many people remember, but it wasn't too long after 9/11, I think, that I sort of remember a bunch of saber rattling going on between India and Pakistan with threats of nuking. But this fell so much in the shadow of 9/11, a lot of Americans probably don't even remember it.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that are interesting. One is that when I was doing my Islamic terrorism timeline and was trying to determine what percentage of terrorist attacks were perpetrated by Muslims over the last, I went from 1960, in fact, I went actually from the creation of Islam, but in sweeping periods of time, and then the onslaught of what we know now as Islamic terrorism began in the 1960s as a direct result of OPEC. And what I found is that Kashmir, for a significant period of time, was the most terrorized place on earth, and that these very organizations like the LET that perpetrated the Mumbai attack were all created by the Pakistani government for the express purpose of terrorizing people living in Kashmir. And it was the ground zero of more terrorist acts per day, per capita, in Kashmir than any other place in the world. And, of course, the fact that both nations are nuclear nations, and one of them is absolutely mad, bodes very poorly for our world. We'll return in a moment.